Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Still Happy New Year, I hope. And hope things are going well, especially this morning. I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, right here, right now. Lord, we didn't come to just trifle with each other. We didn't just come to hang out in this space. Jesus, this morning, we came to meet with you. We came to hear your voice. We came to love you and worship you and lift your name high. Be with us today, Lord. Do what needs to be done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good. Hear and receive God's word this morning. This is from Mark chapter 4. This is a story of Jesus. Again, notice that, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns and the weeds, which grew up and choked the plants. So they did not bear fruit. They did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and it grew, and it produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100-fold. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let her hear." Lord Jesus, this morning, we want to hear. We want you, Lord, to speak to us. And we pray that this word that you spoke 2,000 years ago becomes a word not just to disciples then, but to disciples now, to all of us now. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be seated. Well, before we just dive right into Jesus' story this morning, let's take a look at the context for this story in the Gospel of Mark. Three observations about the context of Jesus' story. First observation about the context of this story is that we see that Jesus' teaching was central, foundational, primary, essential, crucial to Jesus' ministry. I mean, when you look at Jesus' ministry, it's certain that he healed the sick, that he set the captives free, that he performed all kinds of miracles, that he forgave sin, that he raised the dead, that he died and rose for us. All of that's true, isn't it? Yes. But also surely, Jesus' ministry was all about his teaching and preaching. So go back to Mark chapter 1 just a second. It's verses 35 through 38. Very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Gotta find it. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. By the way, praying was a part of his ministry. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." They're looking for him because he was healing people the day before. "Lord, you gotta come, you know, everybody wants, you know." And then Jesus replied, after he spent this time with his father, right? Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. For that is why I have come." I've been observing myself and my favorite sport and our nation and all of us this week. And it's obvious that we all want God's power. We all want God's provision. But Are we also open and desiring of His truth and His purpose? You see, we ultimately, we never can have one without the other. We don't get to pick and choose which characteristics of Jesus that we're most into. We choose all of Him or we get none of Him. Once Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago, right? Once Jesus cast out those demons. Once Jesus fed the multitudes. Everybody just, they just wanted a piece of Him, right? They wanted Jesus to do what they wanted Jesus to do for them. But here again, the words of Jesus as He is whipping up on Satan out in the wilderness. This is from Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why Jesus' teaching and preaching ministry is central to who He was and to what God had called Him to do here on planet Earth, both then and now. Second observation about the context of Jesus' story this morning is that large crowds listen to Jesus. Again, go back and look at Mark chapter 1 for some context on this. This is verses 21 through 27, Mark chapter 1. Then they went to Capernaum when the Sabbath came. Then Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach, because that's where the people were. The people were amazed at His teaching because He taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers, the Pharisees of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey Him." Jesus taught them as one who had authority. Jesus didn't just talk the talk. He backed it up. He walked the walk. Jesus had both truth and power. He offered both information and transformation from God and of God. It was clear to the people of Jesus' day that God was up to something. He was doing something. And so it's almost as if they're on their tippy toes, ready to both see and hear what God is doing. The people, 2,000 years ago, they were hungry for God's truth. There had been no prophetic word spoken in Israel for over 400 years. And so they listened and they feasted on the teaching of Jesus. I wonder how hungry folks are, we are, for Jesus' teaching nowadays. In our modern day 24/7 news cycle with social media so pervasive, we have so many words and so much information that seemingly there are no words that have weight and substance to make any real difference in our lives. This is what God's Word says about the last days, our days. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Does that sound a little bit like now? For far too long, so many preachers, so many pastors have been so busy trying to get people to like what they hear, or like what they're saying, that what they hear no longer matters. I still believe that when we let God's work be done among us and God's word be powerfully proclaimed to us, that people will once again be hungry for both God's truth in God's presence. Third observation about the context of Jesus' story, and we all know this, but just a word, is that Jesus used parables. Jesus used parables to communicate God's truth. When you go back to the Greek, a parable literally means to expose or illustrate by comparison, by analogy, by metaphor. Here's the definition. Parables were a way to convey moral transcendent principles in a relatable story that could be understood and applied to people's lives. So now, you ready? That's the context. So now let's listen again with open ears and open hearts. Let's listen again to Jesus tell his story, tell his parable to us. And Jesus said, Mark 4, right? And Jesus said, listen, hear this. Give me your attention. Listen, what I'm about to say really matters. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. A farmer. So right now, right here in this story, Jesus has now already effectively entered into their world. Now Jesus is speaking their language. Now he is on their turf. Now he is communicating truth on the level that they can understand, because now he could be right here in West Texas. Now he's talking about farmers. Back up there. And as the farmer was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. And some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among the weeds and the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear fruit. They did not bear grain. But still, other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and it grew and it produced a crop, and some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, let whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You see, the ability to hear is not about how smart you are. The ability to hear is not about how spiritual you are, not about how churched you are, not about how old you are, but rather the ability to hear is about how open you are, how available you are, how receptive you are to Jesus and his word. So in this story, it's obvious that the farmer matters. The sower matters. And God the sower, God the farmer, man, he's sowing seed all over the place. Now, I mean, what farmer really does that? I mean, that's crazy farming, not good farming. I don't normally plant cotton seed out in the middle of Highway 8262. That's not where you plant. But you see, in this story, God's grace, God's truth is not just for a select group of people, but for all kinds of heart soil. For hearts that are too hard. For hearts that are too shallow. For hearts that are too worldly. Our God sows the seeds of his word to any and all persons, even all of us here this morning. Especially all of us here this morning. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. It's not his will that anyone should perish, but that everyone would come to know repentance. And so God the farmer sows his seed all over the place, looking for receptivity in life in each and every one of us, even this morning. In this story, it's also obvious that the soil matters. The soil matters. There's four kinds of soil, right? Keep going up there with me. Okay, there's the hard and pathy soil. There's the shallow and the rocky soil. There's the weedy, thorny soil. And there's the good soil, right? The hard, pathy soil, the seed that is sown on the hard path, the hard turn row, that seed just lays there. I mean, it's sown there, it's just laying on top. That seed can't penetrate the resistance and hardness of heart. And so Satan scoops down and just comes and takes it away. The shallow, rocky soil, That seed that's sown in the shallow, rocky soil goes into the dirt, but just barely. So a little depth results in a little growth. Jesus says in Mark 4, 16, 17, that the word that is sown on rocky places, it's heard, and at once it's received with joy, but since they have no root, they'll last only a short time. Because when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And then the weedy, thorny, the seed that's sown in the weedy soil, it goes into the soil. It has some depth, and then it has growth. It might even produce some fruit, but then the weeds come in, the thorns come in. Jesus defined the weeds, Mark 4, verse 19, as the worries of this life, as the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. That stuff, all the things of this world come in and choke the word, choke the life out of the plant, making it unfruitful. Y'all, and then there's the good soil. By the way, that's a farm down by Tahoka. That's pretty good dirt, isn't it? The seed that is sown in the good soil, the productive soil, it goes deep. And it takes root. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And then produces an amazing, unheard of, exponential harvest. 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. The only way that you could ever have that kind of multiplication in the first century. And by the way, anybody know what one cotton seed typically produces? How many bolls? 20. I mean, that's on a really good cotton plant. 20 bolls. And that's in 2022, right? 2023. So the only way that you could have had that kind of 30, 60, 100-fold multiplication in the first century was by divine and miraculous provision and intervention. It was just impossible. The good soil that Jesus wants us to be, the good and amazing crop that Jesus wants us to bear forth is impossible. It's impossible apart from His touch, in His work, in His presence and provision in our lives. Now, y'all, there are four soils in this story. And there's obviously only one soil that Jesus wants us to be, right? And I think we get that, don't we? Let's take a vote. How many of y'all think we should be the hard, pathy soil? Raise your hand. How many of y'all think we should be the shallow, rocky soil? Raise your hand. How many of y'all think we should be the weedy, thorny soil? Raise your hand. How many of y'all think we should be the good soil? I think it's obvious now. It was obvious then. So the question, the punchline, if you will, of Jesus' story, the question facing Jesus' hearers 2,000 years ago, and the question facing Jesus' hearers this morning is, what kind of soil are you? Let's go through those picks again. Hard, pathy soil. Any of y'all feel like you're there right now? God's sowing seed, God's doing something, and the seed just laying on top. I have a friend, he's so hurt. He's so resistant. He has no idea that God is sowing seed in his life. It's like he just completely misses it when God does something good for him. It's like, shoo. And more often than not, it seems that God's truth just bounces right off of him. He's just so hard, so hurt. So I'm going to pray, if you're there, if you're hard and hurt and pathy, resistant this morning, I want to pray. God, I just pray right now for all the hard, pathy soil in this place and in this world, in our families, in our relationships. God, do whatever it takes to break this fallow ground, this empty ground. Bring out the tandem disc and plow this ground until it becomes fertile, good soil, harvesting wonderful things in your hands and for your glory. And y'all, then there's the shallow soil, right? The shallow soil, willing to hear Jesus, maybe even willing to respond to Jesus for a time, or every now and then willing to show up and hear, but there's just no depth to their faith. Now, this is how we grew up doing Christianity in Lorenzo. A revival, a church camp, getting saved at the altar, but never getting different. I'll always remember coming home after one-way camp when I was 17 between my junior and senior years in high school and telling my best friend, Greg, about what God had done, how I'd surrendered, given my whole life to Jesus. And Greg said, that's all right, Andy. You'll get over it. Not yet. Not yet. Y'all, shallow moments of receptivity. But you've never let the word of Jesus, the call of Jesus, penetrate to the depth of your being. You've always held back, or you've always only let it go so far. You're comfortable on the surface. You're comfortable where it's comfortable. But you've never let that seed go all the way in. And if you're the shallow, rocky soil, I'm going to pray for you and for us this morning. Lord Jesus, come. Come and bring in your backhoe, Lord, your shovel, and just start removing these rocks. Send rock removers one by one to get rid of this hardness and shallowness, and let those seeds now that have only just been on the barely beneath the surface, let those seeds go deep, deep into the heart, our hearts, deep into the heart that has only superficially known you all these years. Lord, do it here and do it now. And y'all, then there's the weedy, thorny soil. And this is the story of so many of us. I mean, we're here, aren't we? Right? We're here this morning. This is the story of nominal and casual Christianity, where we have received the word. We've even grown some in our faith, but we've never produced any kind of multiplying harvest. We've never produced any kind of fruit, multiplying harvest, because if the truth be told, other things are just more important to us. Our jobs, our families, our bank accounts, our political parties, our sports, our hobbies, those things are just more important than Jesus is. And as great as all those things are, they don't give life. They take life. They can never fill you. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you feel like you're a weedy, thorny soul, your heart's got so many pressures and worries and stresses, always putting demands on you. If that's where y'all want to pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for the weedy, thorny hearts among us, that you would come and cultivate us, that you would come and show us all the stuff that has our heart instead of you, all the stuff that's getting all the nutrients and attention instead of you, that you would come and bring your hoe and bring your Roundup and bring your loving weed pulling hands and just cleanse us and free us from all the stuff that has us bound. And then, y'all, there's the good soil. I don't know. I think that was 2.5 bales, maybe 3 bales an acre cotton. Pretty good cotton. I think that's the kind of cotton, that's the kind of harvest, that's the kind of multiplication that God wants to see in us. And we just, Lord Jesus, right now, there's a whole lot of us. We want our soil to be receptive and good and fruit-producing. But, Lord, some of us, we don't have a clue how. So, Jesus, just come. Come and be the farmer that farms us. You water us, you nurture us, you teach us, you love us, you heal us. And then, Lord Jesus, make the harvest be plentiful. Lord, don't let us settle for growth without fruit. That's not the good soil. God, we understand, we believe, fruit doesn't come from us. Fruit is only from you. We understand that apart from you, there won't be 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Only by your divine touch, divine intervention, can such fruit be produced. So come and do it, Jesus. In every single person here, come and make us exponentially multiply as we reach out to this world and we let the seed not just come to us, but we become farmers too. We become sowers too. And that every single seed that is planted has that potential to bring life. God, I pray that all that seed that's been planted in us, it just starts growing. It just starts maturing. It's just so fertile. Our ground, our soil, our hearts are just so fertile. Because of your touch and your work, we can't help but bring forth a crop that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So y'all, this morning, how's your dirt? How's your heart? And I just say, the thing I know is God loves all dirt. God loves all hearts. And wherever we are this morning, the promise of grace is that He meets us wherever we are and He takes us where we need to be. But it's like, I love the way Coach McDermott, I always want to give glory to God for holding DeMar and his family in the palm of His hand. You got to be willing to be held in the palm of His hand, in the palm of the great farmer above, in His hand. Lord, this morning as we close in worship, Lord, let us not do the same old. Let us not settle for the status quo. Let us let You do something new in us. May Your word, the seed from the farmer, may that penetrate to the core of our being. In the name of Jesus, penetrate to the core of our being and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.